Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, October 3rd, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My TNA Bound for Glory live review, as well as the TNA Bound for Glory hit list. You can join me for live coverage of WWE Raw tonight, beginning with pre-show coverage at 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Non-members, coming up after the break, I will be discussing the TNA ownership situation, Bound for Glory, Alberto Del Rio, and I'll be looking ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. Alberto Del Rio was the subject of a lot of speculation last night. He no-showed a AAA event in Mexico. He was supposed to be in the main event of a big AAA event and reportedly was spotted in Orlando. A few thoughts on this. You know, someone told me that Paige lives in Orlando, so, I mean, it's very possible it was just that simple. But, of course, TNA had Bound for Glory last night, and they are taping TV this week in Orlando. So it's very possible he will end up appearing at the tapings, but I honestly have no idea if that's the plan. I can tell you this, that roughly midweek last week, heading into Bound for Glory, I was told that TNA had been kind of working on a surprise, and it ended up as being something they pulled back on because of the ownership situation last week, and because they didn't want to overshadow the debut of Cody Rhodes at Bound for Glory. And now that Cody has debuted, and apparently they've received some influx of cash to make the pay-per-view and the taping happen, maybe they'll end up bringing in Del Rio. I gotta say, it's a really odd fit if they do. It kind of feels like a match made in hell. I mean, would you hire someone who left AAA without dropping their world title last time, then left WWE prematurely after being suspended? Now, they worked out the terms of the release and whatever, but he was still suspended. Then he no-showed AAA again last night. I mean, I don't know. And if you're Del Rio, would you want to burn a bridge in Mexico for a company as unstable as TNA appears to be right now? And let's keep in mind, Alberto Del Rio has a reputation for speaking his mind behind the scenes. At least he did in WWE. He's not just kind of a go-along-to-get-along type of guy. And good for him. I mean, I definitely respect that. But what happens if TNA falls behind on his pay, as they've done with some other talents? And, you know, most guys just kind of keep it to themselves and hope that the company catches up. That doesn't seem to be his style. And he can be something of a locker room leader. Does he start to rally the troops? I'm not saying he isn't going to show up in TNA. I'm just saying it's a very strange marriage, and one that I look forward to covering, if indeed this does happen. But I have a feeling if he's got a deal with TNA, I think we may find out as soon as tonight when TNA begins their television tapings. Now, as for the ownership situation, there was not a talent meeting held at Bound for Glory yesterday. People just being left in the dark again. No one seems to know where the company ended up getting its funding to make that pay-per-view and these tapings happen. Someone did tell me they think they got the funding as late as Thursday of last week. And again, it will get them through the tapings. And at last check, they were planning to tape 10 shows at the tapings over 5 days this week. And I was told that it will get them through the end of the year. And so I assume they're going to be doing some best-of content because there's more than 10 weeks left in the year. So maybe around the holidays or something like that, they end up kind of doing some best-of type material. I don't know. But without knowing where the money really came from, it's very difficult to say what is going to happen next. People within TNA have become pretty quiet about the situation. This obviously buys them some time, because if they are going to tape through the television through the rest of 2016, then they don't have any other events to do in 2016. There's not even the annual UK tour scheduled for early 2017, and so this will get, you know, whoever the interested parties are, this will give Dixie Carter some time to resolve any issues that there are, I guess. Not that that's on her, but just if Billy Corgan wants the company. He's described it as kind of a standoff with the other interested parties believed to be Aerolux, perhaps the Fight Network in some capacity. And those are the minority investors. And if we know Aerolux has shown interest, we know Billy has interest, and I don't know exactly where Fight Network sits in all of this, but he described it as a standoff. And so this gives them more time. I don't know if Dixie put up the money herself, if it was a third party, if it was Billy again. If it's Billy, you would think that he must feel like they're close, and they just needed more time. He did not appear on the pay-per-view last night. I was told he was at the show. Dixie did appear on camera for the classy Gail Kim Hall of Fame ceremony. But the buzz is that their relationship not very good right now. So I guess kind of stay tuned on all of this. I thought we'd have some sort of a resolution. I really did, coming out of Bound for Glory, and maybe we will coming out of the tapings. I don't know, but and with now that they have this extra time with no need to tape television until, I guess you could probably do even a same-day tape delay type show the first week of January if they really are going to stretch this out and have all their footage in the can by the end of this week. Then there really doesn't need to be any type of official move made. I mean, you still have payroll and things like that, but I mean, let's be honest, they've fallen behind on it before. They could fall behind on it again. I hate to be that way about it, but nothing would surprise me. So I just don't know what the timeline is now as far as when we can expect some sort of an update on TNA ownership situation. Of course, Dixie is still acting like, oh, it's all just speculation, which is absolutely hilarious because of the fact that Billy Corgan appeared on ESPN last week and was openly talking about how he didn't know if Bound for Glory was going to happen or not. Seemed confident that it would, but he couldn't say with 100% certainty that it was going to either. And so for Dixie to come out and act like she doesn't like to address speculation normally was just embarrassing. I mean, come on. It's seriously, there's times where it makes sense to not address speculation, but in this case, it's just beyond speculation. I just couldn't believe she took the approach she did. Well, maybe I should. I mean, it's just kind of what she does. On a positive note, though, you can check out my hit list and live coverage. I enjoyed Bound for Glory last night. TNA doesn't have the great roster. Dixie will tell you that it's the best roster in the business and all of this, and it's not. It's just not. Not that there isn't talent there. There certainly is, but you look at the type, the quality of matches you're getting on WWE pay-per-views, on NXT live specials, on Ring of Honor pay-per-views, and you compare it to what you get from TNA from top to bottom, and TNA is not they're trailing this race right now. Again, they have some talent that can go. They definitely do, but it's the good thing is that the creative has improved, the approach has improved. How many TNA pay-per-views have we seen in the past where the heel is going to go over and retain the championship at the end? And so that means you need a ref bump, you need run-ins, you need all this nonsense. Last night, it was straightforward finishes, including Lashley defeating EC3, beating him clean. There wasn't a ref bump, there was none of that nonsense. There wasn't the ref bump just to swerve people, a swerve of a swerve that they've been known to do, like, oh, we're going to do a ref bump and then surprise them by not having that be the finish. There was none of that nonsense. They just gave us a good, straightforward show. And I think that, yeah, there's still room for improvement as far as the overall wrestling is concerned. I didn't think Lashley and EC3 had a memorable match by any means in that main event slot, but there's still good things happening there. And, the Cody debut came off okay. Still a little bit concerned that right now he's going in to kind of do mixed tags with his wife and feuding with Maria and Mike Bennett, and that can be fun. But I just don't know if that's what fans want to see Cody doing right now. I guess it kind of depends on what they do with the tapings and if they can get people excited by that. I kind of fear that eventually, people, and maybe they can do a good job with this and they'll get to this, what I'm about to say eventually. But I do worry that they're going to be doing this with him rather than inserting him into the title picture or having him work with people that fans are excited to see him work again. So I guess it really does depend how strong of a start they can get this off to and whether people are going to be satisfied seeing Cody in kind of a mixed tag program. Doesn't mean he and Mike Bennett can't have some singles matches, obviously, but we'll see. But I like that. I like the, as I mentioned earlier, Gail Kim's induction into the Hall of Fame. Very classy, very cool to see Awesome Kong and Taryn Terrell return. Christy Hemme there also. I failed to mention her in my hit list. It wasn't a slight, it just doesn't feel like it's been that long since we saw her, but still nice. Nice touch to have her there. And that came off really well, both Gail Kim and her family, including celebrity chef, her husband, Robert Irvine, looking really touched by the moment. And so it was really cool. I thought she gave a very classy speech. And, for people who, I mean, every year people mock the idea of TNA Hall having a Hall of Fame. They started it 10 years into their existence, roughly. I was always okay with it. I mean, is it as prestigious as other Hall of Fame? No. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with honoring people from within your company. I think it's a nice gesture. And in this, when you get an event like this one, where Gail took it as seriously as she did, and you had people there to really endorse it, like Kong and Taryn Terrell, and put her over the way they did, it feels prestigious, and I think that helps the event or just the ceremony going forward. I think it adds meaning to the Hall of Fame, and of course the the Decay against Broken Matt and Brother Nero match. That was the big one. It was like, how are they going to do this? Is it just going to be a wild brawl in the studio? Are they going to be able to recapture some of the magic that they've had from those long shoots in Cameron, North Carolina that have been so fun? And they did. They ended up taping a bunch of stuff the night before. In fact, as our buddy Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com pointed out, he's an Orlando native, and so he knows the lay of the land. And he said, that big Ferris wheel that they had behind them isn't actually on the Universal property. That's somewhere else. So they definitely did a shoot, on Saturday night. And so when they left the studio, they cut to that. The cool thing about it was when they came back into the studio, the crowd was just as hot. I wasn't sure if the crowd was going to lose patience with this because you go to it now. It's not, and I laugh when they call it a sold out crowd when there's they're free tickets. Maybe it would be a little different for a paid crowd going, hey, we paid to see this. I don't think so, though. I think those guys are over enough, and what the Hardys are doing, that it sounds like the fans had just as much fun watching it play out on the big screen as they did once they returned. But they were hot once they returned, so they didn't lose the crowd in any way. And the other thing I have to note, they actually gave us a singles X Division championship match. I love it. I mean, this is something we've complained about for the longest time, that okay, you hear what's your six-way X Division match of the month? What's your spot fest going to be this time? And it just became so predictable. It wasn't surprising to see the X Division open the show. I don't think they always need to take that approach, but it was a singles match with DJZ and Trevor Lee, and they're still not doing nearly enough with Trevor Lee. The guy has no character in TNA. He is he's treated like a big deal everywhere else he goes. In TNA, he's just another X Division wrestler, even though he did have a run with the championship, and it's unfortunate. But I was so encouraged just to see a straightforward match. They didn't try to get everyone on the show by cramming them into some sort of a six-way X Division, like it feels like we see every other week on television anyway. And so there were some changes made for the better. This was a better show than Slammiversary was, because Slammiversary really spread out the talent. You had three strong programs going at the top of the card going into Slammiversary, and then there was everything else, and that everything else kind of bogged down the rest of that show. And then one of those three match of big three feuds, one of the matches didn't really deliver. Where this, you kind of got everybody crammed into the Bound for Gold match, which, but at least the right guy won. It's about the best I can say about that. But then beyond that, once you get through that match, it felt like everything else mattered. And so they did a really good job with it, and I'm liking some of the encouraging creative things we're seeing from TNA right now. You can get my full review of TNA Bound for Glory. I did 50 minutes going through everything on that show last night. It's available right now for .NET members, who will also be listening to my Q&A audio show a little bit later on today. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at prowrestling.net. You'll see the sign-up area. Once you get in there, three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month of .NET membership to the ad-free version and all of our audio content, both past and present. And then you'll also see two different pricing options. 6 months is an option, and that will save you some money. If you take the annual option, that will save you the most amount of money. That takes $2 off the monthly price tag, brings your price down to an average of $5.50 per month. We'd love to have you jump on board. Check out all of the audio content. By the way, I did an audio review of the Ring of Honor show on Friday night, which I also enjoyed. So you can check that out. And of course, live coverage coming up this weekend of the WWE No Mercy event. And then Jake Barnett and I will get together on Sunday night and do another member exclusive audio review. So just a ton of audio content available for the members. I'm just with those pay-per-view reviews alone, I mean, there's a ton more. So, and the Q&A and .NET Weekly, and just the list goes on. All the major television shows reviewed. Again, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. As always, if you have any questions, you are welcome to hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. And it's that time where I look ahead and tell you a few things that I'm looking forward to on tonight's Raw. Sometimes it's three things, and then other times it's, five, six, just depending on what's going on in the world of WWE Raw. This time, I don't know. I just got to admit that Raw isn't leaving me excited when it comes to seeing what's next. It more often than not just kind of feels like we got to get through these 3 hours and hope that there's something good in there in between the filler content. SmackDown continues to feel like the fresher show, as I talked about last week, and really, have been for quite a while now. I guess I'm curious to see who wins the Charlotte and Sasha Banks match for the women's championship. Same with TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship. Kind of ends there. I mean, I'm just not fired up about seeing what's next for New Day or Roman Reigns as U.S. champion or what's next for Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. Mildly intrigued by what's going on with Sheamus and Cesaro. Mildly. We're going to get Chris Jericho messing around with Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson. Could be fun because if, Jericho's a talented guy, he may be able to pull this off and make it work, but could also be a disaster because think back to some of the bad guest appearances. There, for every good guest appearance there's been on Raw, it feels like there's five bad ones. Hopefully this is the exception and it's a good one. And I guess, if I have to pick one thing that makes me look forward to tonight's show, it's probably that it's in Los Angeles. And it's because WWE tends to put its best foot forward when they're in a bigger market like this. So maybe we see Triple H finally return. And I don't know if it's he returns to kind of recreate what he did during his last appearance where he attacked Seth Rollins or something like that. I don't even know. Seth Rollins is cleared and ready to go. I guess we'll find out tonight. Does he actually explain himself? It would be nice to finally get that explanation. I mean, every week that passes, the more I lose interest in it. And really, I mean, just stop and think about this. The fact that I'm wondering whether this is going to be the week that an on-air authority figure returns to WWE television speaks volumes about the state of Raw right now. I shouldn't even most in most cases, if this were happening, I'd be like, oh, yeah, and they're going to do something with the authority figures. So I'm mildly intrigued about Triple H. There's a few things I'm mildly intrigued by, as you can tell, but just no sense of excitement aside from, yeah, I mean, those two title matches, it's nice to see them advertise something a week out, but I really want them to do something to get me excited and hooked on Raw storylines, not just, hey, there's going to be a couple of title matches. There's not much going on right now on Raw, and hopefully that will change tonight. And again, join me for live coverage as the show airs. Finally, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? Don't say no. I've said before, I hear you. I can hear you when you say no. Hey, take a moment to subscribe to this daily podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. When I put out the link on Twitter, a simple retweet is very much appreciated. And again, you can follow me online at ProWrestlingNet. I will be back in this slot tomorrow with a full-length audio review of WWE Raw that I'll be recording on Tuesday morning, early afternoon, somewhere in there. So until then, thanks for listening. Take care.